Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for another day in His house. You are His house. So we're talking other dimensional when we talk about God's house. Y'all know it, right? It's, we look at this thing and say, this is God's house. This is a trailer, y'all. It's a double wide trailer. You are God's house. And we say, we're in the house of the Lord. It's other dimensional. I mean, it's just going, it's hard to just go ahead and just follow the mind of Christ. I want to tell you just how blessed you are to be exposed to this gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank God for this country, because we can worship Jesus and so far not be punished. So far. But they're working on it. They're going to want to come and get us. They'll eventually come and get us. And that's fine. Barack Obama said, the United States is no longer a Christian nation, he said. Wow. Well, hold on. Nations aren't Christians. People are.
Come on.
So, you know, we have to make, you know, very close distinctions, even though I don't like the sound of what he said. He meant something other than what I just said.
Okay.
He's saying that now it's all religions everywhere. It's an ecumenical nation now, he's saying. That's what he's saying. But then nations are not. God doesn't save nations. He was the God of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And that's when he would save nations. And one nation was the nation of Israel, you know, the Jewish nation. And the rest of us were just dogs, basically dogs. And I know that one of the great battle cries is pray for America, that God will save America. I think there's an error in that, because God doesn't save nations. God saves people. So pray for the souls that are in the United States of America, and pray for the people of America that they will turn to God. Everybody is not going to turn to God in this country. This is a spiritual work. This is God's work. And he's going to reach who he's going to reach, regardless of where they are on this planet.
Amen.
And how privileged you are to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for the works that he's accomplished and the things that he has done for mankind.
Amen.
He came to make sure that men will not have to suffer the horrors and anguish of the lake of fire. He came to set things right between God and man. And the only way that things could be set right with God and man is if a man who messed things up set things right again. Well, there was no man that was able to do that. Abraham and Isaac, and we came on down, and it all was a mess. Elijah and Ezekiel, and they were great men, but it wasn't enough. God said, well, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
Uh-huh.
He prepared a body. He got in that body.
Uh-huh.
And then he came down to redeem man. God did the work. Even though the debt was due to him,
uh-huh.
he paid the debt to himself.
Yeah.
Man, I wish my creditors would do that. They ain't going to do that. No, they're not. I know. They're not going to do it. They want me to send them those payments that we agreed to. But he fixed it so that mankind does not have to endure the indignities and the suffering and the eternal torment of a lake of fire. And folks say, you guys are overdramatic. Call it what you will, but it's in Scripture, and I do believe that there is a lake of fire. But I also believe that there is a heaven. And he came so that mankind could experience an eternity of heaven with him and miss that awful punishment that man is really due to go through. So God himself came and he made it right. And what a privilege it is to be in the house of God, yea, to be the house of God, which is what we are. Now, we're different kinds of house of God. Some of us are walking pretty good, and some of us are not walking so good. But you're still the house of God. And the Bible says that there are many members of the body. There are some that are not so comely. There are some that are comely. There are some that are not so pretty, and there are some that are pretty. There are some that are not doing it so great, and there are some that's doing it great. But he's put more honor on the ones that are not doing so great. How you figure that? But that's what he does, see? And so the ones that are doing so great, don't you dare look down your nose too fast. Because the first will be last, and the last will be first. That is a kingdom principle. And I tell you, I got up here one Sunday. I took up my judgment gun. He said, "Don't you do it." I'm like, that's the last time it came out. You know why? Because all these other fingers right at me. All right, so that makes it at least three times worse for me.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. So I don't know why he does it like this. I just know he does. And but for the grace of God, there go I. I was in Williston this weekend, and the Lord sent me to Proverbs chapter 4 and had me sitting up there crying, remembering some things that I had done. And I'm not going to tell you what those things are, because they will humiliate me and they won't edify you. But I was sitting there crying. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, I closed that Bible. I said, "That's enough of that. Good God." And zipped it closed and threw it off to the side of the table. And I had to go turn a TV on or something to get out of that. Because, boy, I tell you, he was reminding me of some things. I'm going, "Good God, Lord, that was wrong. That shouldn't have happened. That person shouldn't have done that. And this shouldn't have happened." Like, I'm just back and forth. So, and that was me as a young man. Young men, I'll say this much, young men and probably young women, but I'm not a young woman, but I can talk to young men. Young men will do things in their youth that is easy to do because they have the strength to do it. And they have the wherewithal to do it. And the opportunity presents itself and they do it. But I am 50 years later still reaping the results of that young man action with the S on the end, more than one. So young man, I'm telling you, because you're youngest here and you ain't up there, you're up there and you up there, but you're still young men. Y'all be careful what you do, because we're going to give account for what's done in our bodies.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if it's before Christ, but I gave account the other day. And I was sitting there just crying. I'm like, God. I was in agony. Just remembering.
Tell it.
You know, so be careful, men, what you do in your bodies, because you might grow up to be like me, a man of God, and now you got to really face the truth of all of that. And it's no ignoring it. It's no pretending. Truth is truth. And my friend, when the chickens come home to roost, all of them come home to roost, whatever that means. That means they come in for the night or something. But listen, it's, you know, I wasn't saved. I wasn't nowhere near saved. But you do what unsaved people do. But, you know, the remorse is still there. So anyway, but that's it. So. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for a home. Thank God for coming home. I needed a little trip. Thank God for my wife helping me to get out, because I'm not going to go. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go. I'm going to drive myself right in the ground. And she said, "All right, we need to do something, you know." So you better, if you got a wife that helps you like that, you need to listen to her. Mr. Energy. Mr. Go Everything, Do Everything. If your wife say, "Baby, you need to slow down a little bit. You need to listen to her. She sees something you don't see. She see that candle burning that got lit on the other end. You know what happens when it meets in the middle, right?
Lights out.
Thank God for your wife, man. you let your wife help you. As much as a man as we are, we have to know why God gave us a good wife. Well, I stopped preaching and gone meddling, ain't I? Well, as you know, we are still in the book of the Revelation. Made it to chapter 8. And you know, the further we go, the more confusing it seems. But we don't have to worry about trying to remember everything that we've seen and read, because everything that we've seen and read is in the foundation that God is laying to get us to where we are in the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So don't scramble your mind trying to resist. Don't worry. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. Uh-huh. He will remind you what you need to know when you get to certain things. So we just trust him in these teachings, because it can get really complicated. Now we're talking about four angels. We're talking about seven angels. We talked about four angels last time. Now we're talking about seven angels. Well, it's not the same four angels. It's seven angels. And then there's an eighth angel. So it's just angels everywhere, you see. But these are different groups of angels that are beginning to do different things. And last week we were there in Revelation chapter 8. And there was this seventh seal that was opened. That was when there was total silence in heaven at the space of about 1.5 hour, and they stopped everything for about 1.5 hour, and he saw that seven angels stood before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Another angel stood at the altar, and he had a golden censer, and he filled that censer with incense, and he filled it with the prayers of the saints. Mm-hmm. Now we don't know which saints' prayers he filled it with, but it says here that he filled it with all of the prayers of the saints. So maybe it's filling with our prayers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know it was the prayers of the souls under the altar, but maybe it's our prayers. When they say all is all, right? Yeah, all is all. It's everything. And so he filled it with all of the prayers. That means our prayers also. That's my interpretation, because the word is all. Right? Didn't they say all?
Yeah,
which came with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I think it said all of us. Yeah, of all of the saints. And so if it was less, it would have said with the prayers of the saints under the altar.
Uh-huh.
But it says with all of the prayers of the saints. So there comes a time. And if you remember back in Hebrews 11, that there were that list of our what we call our faith giants. In the list, Hebrews 11, you know, and you know, it talks about faith or Abraham this and Isaac that. It talks about the different patriarchs. And then it says that these all died in faith, not having received the promise, God having some better things for us. Meaning that even though they lived and walked by faith according to the promise of God, they died without having received what God had promised.
Yeah.
And the reason it is that God was holding everything back to get the rest of us in on it so that we could also participate at one time. See, so they, even though they had the promise, they had died and not received it during their lifetime. And it was, you know, years that passed between each one of them. But it's not that God, as the scriptures say, God is not slack concerning his promise, uh-huh. as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And sometimes he makes us wait. I wondered, well, who in the world in my family prayed for a preacher in the family? And come to find out, my grandfather was an itinerant preacher. I never met him, but he was an itinerant preacher, meaning he went about to preach. I don't know if the man could read, because my dad couldn't read. So it's a good chance he couldn't read anyway, or he would have taught my dad, you know. But that was a preacher in the family that prayed, I believe, for his offspring, and that his sons or his son's sons or whatever would be used by God, because this thing fell on me very heavy. And I know somebody was praying for me. And that's happened throughout my life, that things have happened. I'm going to, how did I walk away from that? Somebody was praying for me. You know, that would be my only answer. Somebody was praying for me. And sometimes you find yourself in situations and you know somebody been praying for me, because I was supposed to get out of, you know what I'm talking about? You know, Bobby, you know what I'm talking about? You walk right out. You go, man, how did I, you know what I'm talking about? How did I get out of that? Somebody must be praying for me. That was my only answer because, you know, one guy was supposed to shoot me. He was looking for me. Where does he live? So somebody was praying for me. Okay. Where was I before I got so rudely interrupted by me? Yeah, we was talking about the, right, yeah. And he took this thing and then he got this empty sensor and he threw it down on the earth and that was earthquakes and thunders and lightnings. Now here in verse 6, we pick up here in verse 6. And Lord, we thank you for your word today. Just touch us, help us. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear your truth. Tribulation truth, of course, but more than anything, the truth that you have for us this day. We still need to hear from you, Lord. We still need direction for next week. We need direction for today, and we need to understand what happened last week. Make it clear to our hearts, Lord, as you see fit, according to your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. You remember in that book, in the book of Job, calamity happened to this man. And it was on earth that this happened, but the calamity happened because something was going on in heaven. God and Satan were having a competition. You remember? And God's servant Job, Satan said, would not stand. God said that he would. And the calamities that Job suffered were an outgrowth of the heavenly exchange. And it hit Job. Yeah. Seemed that Job lost everything. But in the end, he maintained his integrity.
Oh, strong word.
And everything was restored to that man twofold because he stood. Twofold. Here in Revelation 8:6, something is happening in heaven which has repercussions on earth. The archangels prepare to sound their trumpets. The prayers of the saints will be answered, and God's wrath will be kindled to unleash on the next set of judgments. And so while there is activity in heaven, something was about to happen on the earth. You remember when Daniel prayed that prayer and the prayer was released that very same day, but it took 21 days for the angel to get to him with an answer because there was something happening in heaven and the angel was held back by the prince of that area. Well, I'm not going to say that's exactly how it is today. I don't know. We've got the Holy Ghost now, and he is power. And we have the Holy Ghost in us, which is the power of God in us.
Yeah.
And so I believe that we handle it just a tad different than Daniel would have because God has already done and completed the work. Amen. God has completed the work. Jesus Christ kept that law and everything that was in it. And then he sent his spirit to reside inside of man. That makes the power of God resident in us. That's the power of God that is living and moving inside of us. If we will avail ourselves to it. This word that you were talking about speaking is not necessarily a logos word, but a rhema word. A word where God speaks and God places it into you to speak for the moment. Right now, I call it a right now word, a word that works right now, might not work tomorrow in the same way because it's a word for right now. So that means we got to learn to walk in the spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the spirit of God can lead and direct us and guide us to where we need to be right now. It's a rhema word. Well, God can give you a word to speak and it'll turn everything upside down. And folks will be wondering, where that word come from and who told him my business? And what's he doing reading my mail? Folks think that about me. He read my mail again. I don't know nothing about your mail. God knows about your mail. So you better be concerned with God and not with the preacher, because God knows your mail. And again, if you don't tell me, I won't know anything about it still. I'm just being trying to be obedient to the Spirit, because that's how God is. That's how he works. And so these things were happening in heaven. So here we have the first angel in verse 7 of Revelation 8 sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt. Now this is a prophecy. Now you got to understand, this is prophetic. This shall come to pass. They got it written almost like it's happening, but it's a prophecy, and it's telling us what shall come to pass during these terrible days. Mm-hmm. The seventh plague on Egypt in the book of Genesis during the days of Moses was a grievous rain of hail mixed with fire that destroyed cattle and herbs and trees. It was directed against the Egyptian god, believe it or not, of Isis. It was directed against the Egyptian god by the name of Isis. First one. Hail mixed with fire. That's ice. That's not even supposed to work together. The ice should put the fire or something. Ice, just imagine, if you will, a hailstorm, and you know it's ice and water. Ice is water, and you see it coming down, and fire is coming down with it. I don't know if it's attached, but fire and water is raining on the earth, and when it hits the bush, you got a flame going. That was the first plague of Egypt. Wow. Y'all let the people go. It was because he wouldn't let God's people go. Just wouldn't do it. So that's the first angel came. Hail and fire that was mixed with blood. It called mingled with blood. Hail and fire mixed with blood. That's what's happening. And this is hitting the earth. Hail and fire. And you got blood down there. You know, whose blood is that? Just imagine being in that situation and you're trying to get out of the storm and this thing is beating down. Hell is like a rock. And it's a boom, boom, boom. And you're walking and slipping because blood is slippery. You miss. If you fall, you got blood all over you. All of this is coming. That's just the first angel mixed with blood. Now, Isis, I looked it up, as you know, I probably would have. It means great in magic. The mistress of the gods who knows Ra, that's a god by the name of Ra, yeah. By his own name, said to give immortality. Now, Ra was the sun god of Egypt, because they worship the sun and the moon and all of that. So the result of the hail, fire and the blood rained down upon the one third of the earth, it caused devastation in unimaginable proportions, if you can imagine. It will bring many terrible consequences. Much of the lumber needed to build houses will be gone, mm-hmm. along with much of the grain used for food will be destroyed, and the entire balance of nature will be upset, and there will be horrendous loss of life. Just from this first angel, there were seven of them. Mm-hmm. One can scarcely imagine the depth of the devastation that's caused by this first trumpet. But a man by the name of Hal Lindsey, a man who's steeped in Bible prophecy, described it in this way. Hal Lindsey, this is his words. With this massive loss of vegetation will come soil erosion, floods, and mudslides. Air pollution will be immense. The smoke of the fire will fill the atmosphere, and the remaining vegetation will be unable to adequately absorb the hydrocarbons from automobiles and industry. Ecology will be thrown chaotically out of balance. So it's going to throw things, it's just going to just throw things just out of balance, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just the first angel of seven. That's enough I'm ready to call on Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
Jesus, what you want? Tell me what to do. Hell mixed with fire and blood. Tell me what do I need to do, Lord? Revelation 8 and 9 goes, it says, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Mm-hmm. The third part of the sea became, this is something. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And so whatever this mountain is, this first trumpet will signal judgment upon the earth. But this second trumpet will signal judgment upon the sea. So as you see, this first part of the judgment is happening upon the earth. This second is happening upon the sea. The judgment reminds us of the first plague against Egypt in Genesis, directed against their false god. The name is H-I-K-A, is either Hika or Hika, perhaps the goddess of magic and of spells. And so you could see the Egyptians were very religious. They were very superstitious, is what they were. They believed in spells and magic, you know, and potions and all of these things. So a lot of these things came from Egypt. There's a book called The Egyptian God of the Book of the Dead that I used to study. And, you know, at least I looked at it a couple of times. I didn't study it too hard because I didn't like dead stuff. But, you know, I did check that out in my religious thing, you know. But it's one called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And there are a lot of things that they practiced that you could actually go and get the resources today that relate to a lot of this stuff. They still sell that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. I've already done it. And my advice to you is don't do it. Just stay away with a passion. Don't mess with it. It's a very dangerous Well, the Lord wants me to share something with you. When I was working, I was a supervisor, and I hired a lady who was a Santeria priestess. I said, "Hey, wait a minute, isn't that witchcraft?" She said, "Oh, well, it's white witchcraft. It's same as black witchcraft, you ask me, but, you know, it's the good witchcraft," she was saying. "No, I'm the good witch." I said, "Okay." So I hired her to work for me, and I'll try not to call her name, but she worked with me, and we kind of got along pretty good. We'd always joke about, you know, the preacher and the Santeria priestess, and we'd laugh about it, you know, and go on and work together. We got the job done, but she stabbed me in the back.
Whoa.
She would go to the big bosses and say things about me and those that I work with, and she stabbed me in the back.
That was a witch.
It was a witch, man. And I ended up getting demoted, and she got promoted.
Wow.
And my nice, beautiful office that I had became her office.
Whoa.
And I got a little office like that room right there, and she got this just in proportion speaking, you know. And I'm like, wow, the woman took my office. Okay. I just went on and kept praying for her, which was bad for her. So, you know, it's more to the story, but things did not end well for her at all. It did not end well for her at all. I went on about my business with my little demotion, and, you know, I landed on my feet. I kept my integrity, and I was still upbeat. I still smiled when people saw me and had a good word to give to people and everything and whatever she was doing. That woman wound up, I heard later, sick, so sick, and sick so often. The folks won't tell me. I ask them, but they won't tell me. I don't know if they know what happened, but they will not give me the details, you know. But what happened to her? Well, she was having trouble with her stomach, blah, 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 blah. And she missed so much time off from work. And she eventually was moving, and she had a little relative there to help her. And between the two houses, she sent him ahead, and she would finish the boxes. And he went ahead, and she never got there. And they found her there dead in that apartment.
Wow.
Now, when I saw this lady, just after the, you know, the backstabbing or whatever you call it, I could barely look at her. Her face was shrunken. She had no teeth. It was a horrible thing to look at. It broke my heart. I'm like, don't bother God's children. Leave God's people alone. Now, you should have known better than this, right? And it hurt me so much because she used to be so full and so robust. When I saw, she was like this. And I looked, and they were eating something. I had my little plate, and I wouldn't sit around. I just went back to my little office, and I might have cried a little bit from seeing the result of, you know, where she was. And things were so, I mean, things were going so good with her when she worked for me. But for some reason, it wasn't enough. And her books didn't help her. They should have told her about God's anointing. But it didn't help her, and she ended up dying. And you know, when a person stabs you in the back and take things from you, they got to live to enjoy it. And you ain't got to curse them. You don't have to speak a word against them. You don't have to tell God on them. You pray for them. They're better off, as I said, and you will quote me someday, they're better off if you cuss them out. And swing on them. You know, they're better off. But if you turn the other cheek and pray for them, they got God to deal with. But you got to do it not as a curse against them. You understand? So now your heart is a part of it. So your heart got to be right when you pray for them too. You can't have a black heart in praying for me. I mean, this is tricky. It gets tricky, you know? You got to say, well, Lord, touch me and help me to get past this first so my heart is right. You know, because sometimes you got to pray for you. And then when your heart gets right, then you pray for them. You say, Lord, just please don't hold it against them. Just help them, Lord, and pray for them. And they got God to deal with. So anyway, that's not in my notes. You know, sometimes you could tell people, say, look, I belong to God. You might not want to do this. Now, they might not understand that. But, you know, it's a fair warning. It's like, look, I believe in God. I belong to God. We don't need to do this. Let's just not do that. Let's just not do this. It's just going to be too costly. Something. And just leave it alone. It's a fair warning. If you belong, whatever station you are in God, some of us fly high and some of us fly medium and some of us in different areas of our life. Do you know that it's easier to pull a person down than it is to pull a person up? I'll stand on that chair and I'm a pretty big man, but little Kevin can pull me down. He can grab me and he could snatch me right off that chair. But if he didn't want me to pull him up on that chair, I'd catch a fit getting him up there. He'd be pulling back. It's easier to pull a person down. That's why y'all need to pray for me and don't be giving me a hard time. Y'all help me. I'm serious. Y'all help me. Y'all, will y'all help me? Pray for me.
Amen.
People think the preacher don't need prayer, but that's a lie from hell, man. You know. The preacher needs prayer now. No, listen, y'all nodding, yes. But I'm serious. I don't listen. Next time you cut in the hedge, you saying for Pastor Leroy in the name of Jesus, now the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the summer, mix it in with you, what you're doing. It don't cost you no more, you know. Just pray for me, you know, because I struggled. I had to say this morning, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Because sometimes I don't, you know, my feelings get in there. You know, feelings are terrible things to go by. But we all have them, you know. And I had to pray for help. So there we are. Revelation 8:8 states that something like a mountain, not a mountain. So when we read this, we got to recognize that it didn't say a mountain. But folks would say a mountain fell. But it says something like a mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. It is no specific. It's not exact. It's just what this thing is. It could be a nuclear missile, or it could be a meteor. Whatever it is, it will be huge, mm-hmm. and it will be on fire, and it will cause one third of the sea to turn into blood, destroying one third of all sea life and one third of all ships. So that means it's going to be a devastating impact of whatever it is. The impact is going to, there are folks that fish with dynamite.
Yeah.
And they'll light the dynamite and they think it's illegal. And they'll throw it in the water and move back and it'll boof and kill all the fish in the general vicinity. And so rather than fish with a worm, they'll kill 20 fish and they just go by with the thing and scoop them. Or you better not do it. You better not. God gonna send the game warden at the same time you go out there. It's gonna be the only time you see the game warden. They gonna come and get all of them. And they do that. Now, the reason I say that is because of the impact of the explosion, the waves of the explosion, just like any bomb. When a bomb detonates, it sends out a powerful impact, and it kills people because the impact is so. It's like that jar in a car accident. When it hits, oh, it does that, and all of this stuff here gets torn loose. Sometimes, you know, depending on the power of the impact, it'll tear organs loose. And it was just a 60-mile crash. How did that happen? All of this stuff got torn loose, and brain got messed. You know. And they find them dead, so they bleed to death because, you know, and it's the same that impact. So what I'm trying to get to is this thing, when it hits that water, it is such a devastating impact that, of course, it's killing the life in the sea. And I don't know where the blood come from. It might have come from the things that was killed. I don't know. But also, the ships were affected by this impact. And so that means that the radiation of the impact must have also hit those ships or something. That's just my natural explanation. Now, I'm not saying I'm right, but I can explain it that way. I know that in nature and in physics, things like that happen. That impact will destroy things. The nuclear bomb destroyed structures for miles and miles. And in ground zero, it vaporized everything. It was so hot. But then as it went out, it destroyed structures and broke windows and knocked buildings down. And if the further out it went, it might just broke some windows and a few little things, see. But the closer, it destroyed and knocked structures down. And so this could have possibly been something like that. Listen, that's just what man has done. God is talking about what's going to happen. And it could be man doing it. I don't know. All I know is this is going to happen according to the word of God. Uh-huh. So it's pretty devastating. All those who would depend upon the sea for jobs and food and defense or a cargo transport will suffer from this mountain-like object hitting the sea, along with any damage caused by any accompanying a possible tidal wave. So we don't hear them say anything about a tidal wave, but you know, you throw a rock in the water, it creates a ripple. You throw a big enough rock in the water, it creates a bigger ripple. You throw something like a mountain in the river, it's going to create
tsunami.
Yeah, I mean, that water is going to resume. So, I mean, just, that's angel number two.
I know.
Revelation 8, 10, 11, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fourth, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. If you've ever seen what we call a falling star, we're actually witnessing what we're witnessing are tiny bits of dust and rock called meteoroids. They're not stars. But we always call them that. And they're falling into the earth's atmosphere and burning up as they come in. They're just burning up. Just and then the short-lived trail of light is called a meteor. And meteors are commonly called shooting or falling stars. So if any hits the earth, the remaining bit is called a meteorite, like a rock. or a boulder, depending on the size of it, if it makes it through the atmosphere of the earth. There have been debris to fall to earth and cause atomic bomb-like damage that's fallen from the sky. And it's done it to towns and areas that it fell on or that it fell near. Atomic, there was one item that was about 53 or 54 feet across. That's not very far. That's what, to there? 50 feet, is it this right here?
Yeah.
About 50, it was this big.
Uh-huh.
They said that it hit with the power of 30 or 40 of the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima. 30 or 40 times the power of the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima. And it was just 54 feet across. And so it's that coming in, and it's something that happens when it increases in mass, the faster it goes. You know, the faster an object reaches the speed of light, the more mass or something is doubled and is added to it. The power is added to it. I didn't bother to study that. I didn't have time. But it becomes greater in power and greater in ability, destructive ability. And so when this thing came in and made it through the Earth's atmosphere in 18-something, or, you know, back then, it says that it carried with it the destructive power of about 30 or 40 of the atomic bombs that was dropped on Hiroshima. And Hiroshima was a very devastating bombing that happened. It was two bombs that they dropped. And it was very, very big. One was called Big Something and one was Little Something. But they were very devastating bombs. And so that means that there are things in heaven, in the earth, in the atmosphere, mm-hmm. out of space, that are constantly going. One hit Saturn back in the 60s or 70s, and it caused damage, and they called it a scar on the surface of Saturn, where they could see with their cameras. And even that ring was affected by this thing going through and hitting Saturn. These are just objects in the air. They're talking about, Revelation is talking about things coming into the atmosphere and causing damage. And so we already know that it is possible for things to come into Earth's atmosphere and cause damage. There's some things that have come through and actually hit the Earth with large craters to show for it. And so this is talking about one that is coming through, this blazing object here. Comes with a purpose. The others came just destroying and just landing on the Earth. This one comes with a purpose and specific results. It says it's going to have specific results. It carries pollutants, mm-hmm. and it's poisonous substances that come with it from the sky. And it comes with for the purpose of affecting 1/3 of the rivers and 1/3 of the spring waters. That's fresh water. Water you find in the mountains, that crystal clear water.
Yeah.
That you could go in the mountains and just grab it and just drink it. You don't have to do anything to it. You know, just beautiful, clear water. It's going to affect the crystal clear water. It's called wormwood. And men are going to die because of this. It carries an already defined biblical name. The name is wormwood. It's already been used in the scriptures in Jeremiah 9:15 and Jeremiah 23:15 and Amos 5:7. It's already used in scriptures, wormwood. It means bitter. And it's in Proverbs 5:4. As you remember, I said I read Proverbs 4:4, so I was there. So apparently I went on and found it there. This particular star's purpose will be to take many men's lives because of the bitter waters. Now, you got to understand, this is judgment. These are men that will not accept God. They will not accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God has given even a warning today. If anyone hears this message, he's given a warning today that this is coming. Now, this generation might miss it, but the next generation might not. That means this generation need to warn the next generation. So the next generation will warn the next generation. It's like, don't be here when this happens because it's irresistible. So we have obligations to continue and pass the word on. That's what this is about. In Revelation 8:12, it says, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, mm-hmm. and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. That fourth trumpet affects the heavenly bodies. It affects the sun and the moon and the stars. I mean, there's going to be darkness. That's not going to be a same day. It's certain portions of it. The sun shines in its own strength, but the moon depends upon the reflection of the sunlight. The moon doesn't have its light. It's a reflection of the sun, of the light of the sun that causes the moon, or it's moonlight. It's not moonlight. It's a reflection of the sunlight on the moon. That's why you can see the moon, because it reflects the light of the sun. And so it does that. It reflects that light of the sun in order to shine. So one third of sunlight is gone. Moonlight is also. So this we can understand logically, but one third of the stars, I could understand in a solar eclipse or, you know, or something. You know what I mean? I could kind of explain that away, the solar eclipse, but I can't explain the stars away. I can't explain why the stars are affected by this. I can't, in my knowledge, explain that. Solar eclipse or something got before the sun. But what is this thing that comes and it covers? It covers one third of the sun and one third of the moon and then one third of the stars. What is that? That is between us and the sun and the stars where we don't see it. What is that? That's something different than what we know that God is telling us about, you know? So it's maybe that solar eclipse. It could be caused by an airborne fallout of some kind of previous judgment. I don't know. But astrologers and fortune tellers and witches rely on the sun and the moon and the stars to predict the future. And oh, by the way, since I mentioned astrologers and fortune tellers and witches, they do their thing, y'all. If a witch tell you, I saw you, I'm just going to look up and say this so I don't describe nobody, but I saw you when you were 4 years old and you had this polka dot shirt you loved and your mama had a hard time keeping you from wearing this polka dot shirt. Mm-hmm. And everywhere you went, you wanted to wear this polka dot shirt. And you go, I did have a polka dot shirt. Who does she talk to? The girl is looking right at you, man. You know, she sees that. They have some of these abilities and some of these gifts. So you just need to know that there are counterfeits that are in it for the money. And there are real people that have certain gifts and things that they can use. But I'm warning you, if they don't know Jesus, you stay away from them with a passion. Mm-hmm. And you advise everyone that you know to stay away from them because they're being led by demonic spirits, familiar spirits. And they're not the demonic and the familiar spirit, by the way, is not a good spirit.
Right.
And you need no advice. You need no advice from a person that is not a Christian person, because God gives us gifts and abilities as well to see things. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will show you things to come.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know something, you ask God and he'll tell you what you need to know.
Amen.
Some things you nor I need to know, because we'll mess it up if we get it. All right, I don't know how many preachers will tell you that a lot of this stuff is real, but I'm one that's telling you, because I've been in the midst of it. I'm telling you a lot of this stuff is real, but it's not wholesome and it will not edify you. So take that and remember, stay away from Madam Hoosie and Sister Regia Pond. You hear me? And the crystal ball reader. They can't tell you what you need to know with those things. They could tell you facts, things about, you know, might be a spirit they pick up that know you. They might be able to have something similar to discerning of spirits like we have. And they might be able to click into that kind of thing. That Witch of Endor pulled Samuel up. Was that Samuel?
Mm-hmm.
Pulled Samuel up and scared her to death when she saw him. Okay, you have to go read about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's under Witch of Endor.
E-N-D-O-R,
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So during this time, a reduction of the Earth's sunlight is going to affect the weather. It's going to affect crops and life in general. Major winter storms could sweep the Earth, causing many to freeze to death. This is judgment, y'all. This is God's judgment on the Earth. He's given us plenty of warning. Remember, Jesus is the one that gave this message to John on the Isle of Patmos in chapter 1. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who I was, and now I'm alive forevermore. Write these things in a book. These things are going to come to pass. So he's the one that gave it to John to give to us and mankind as a warning. This is coming. So he's still giving information to man to save man. Revelation 8:13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound.
Whoa.
Good God.
Whoa, whoa.
This angel speaks and flies. This one is flying.
I know.
Flying. And it's coming with this an announcement of warning. It's flying through heaven like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's warning. There are three more trumpets to sound. And it's hard to imagine that the last three trumpet judgments will be worse than the first four. But they will. When I was an unsaved man back in 1977, a friend of mine who's gone on to be with the Lord suggested a book to me, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. It was a book about the book of the Revelation. I'm an unsaved man reading about the book of Revelation. It scared me to death when I finally read that book.
Mm-hmm.
I was shaken to my core. And I went back to my friend after I wrote the book and I said, what should I do? Which is the right question you ask, you know. I said, what should I do? He said, the best thing I can tell you is to get on your hands and knees and ask the Lord to help you. And that's what I did. And here I am today, you know. The book of the Revelation will really, I mean, it'll shake you to your core. I truly don't want to have to participate in this. And whatever it took, I was headed looking for it. Lord, tell me which way to go. What do I need to do? And that's when I went and found this little holiness church over in Liberty City, somewhere in Miami, over there, and with drugs and prostitutes on the same street.
Uh-huh.
So how you go looking for Jesus on the street with the drugs and prostitute? And the only reason I was there was because of that church. There ain't no way I was going to spend no time on that street. Mm-hmm. I would drive through and lock my doors and roll my windows up. It'd be hot. But I didn't want to take a chance. But that's where I found that church. And that's where I got saved. In the midst of Sin City,
mm-hmm.
Jesus was there.
Mm-hmm.
He does not care. Mm-hmm. I was telling a young man, when God called me into the ministry, I was high. I had just smoked a joint.
Mm-hmm.
God don't care nothing about drugs.
No.
He don't care nothing about your alcohol.
No.
People say, oh, God don't want to do nothing with me because I'm drunk. God don't care nothing about your alcohol, man. When he gets ready for you, he's going to walk right through that little alcoholic haze and be right in your face. And you'll know that he's talking to you. Little things that we do. Poor man think that I can block God's influence on my life by things that I do. When God wants you, man, he's coming. He is coming. Ain't a thing you can do but hear him.
Hey, Lord be to God.
Because he's just powerful like that.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
He's a wonderful God. He'll get you, man. He'll walk right. He'll be right in your face.
Yes,
and you'll know that it's him.
You're tapping on my
shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You move too far to the right or left, you're going to tap you on both shoulders. He's going to get your attention. Say, hey, look, hey, what you doing? Get this straight. Well, we might have went a little long today, but praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We only get to do this once a week, so let's take advantage of it. And I thank you for your patience and for allowing me to ramble sometimes, which I'm known to do. And hope I didn't tell any untruths or lies, because the more you talk, the more, you know, the better chance you can lie, you know. So I hope I stayed as close to the truth as I could. And I admit that sometimes I kind of get colorful, but I try to be truthful. So God knows my heart. So,
amen.
Father, we thank you for your word today. We magnify you. And we just pray, Lord, that in the midst of all that was said and done, and that we've acknowledged in our own hearts how your Holy Spirit has spoken to us individually, we hope that it's all glorified you, Lord, and that we've come to better understand you and to receive your truth into our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that you be with us. Bless us as we leave. Bless all that came, all that fought to get here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 And we bless the following proceedings with the birthday of little Kayana, who is 3 years old yesterday, I think. Hallelujah. I hope to God she is out of the twos for real. But she was a 2 year old. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Happy birthday, Kayana. Amen.